This school here would have never, ever happened if I had allowed people to influence me in what I should do. I'd ever step along the way, people have tried to stop me. Good-minded, good reasoning, good people that said, now, you know, and I was convinced that the only reason they was trying to stop me because they knew if I got off too far in this thing that the light would shine so bright that they'd have to repent and come on and go with me. And they weren't interested in going. And they still aren't interested in going. How many people here in this class do we have from Pensacola, Florida? Raise your hand. One, two, three. And one of them is my granddaughter. Y'all met Megan yet? No. Megan, would you stand up and let everybody take a look at you, sweetheart? This is my oldest grandchild. And I've got some wonderful things to share. In fact, I may let her share some things that have just happened recently in her life that are they're mind blowers. Things that don't happen in the world. People, the things that my family experience, we just expect it. Especially if you're only 10 years old, they expect it. When you get my age, you just kind of, well, I'll just go ahead and share it with you. Her mother, 2 weeks ago, Megan? 3 weeks ago, fell in a laundromat and snapped her arm in three places. Up here in the elbow, the bone came right, not through the skin, but pushing out on the skin. The bone here pushing through the skin, and the bone here pushing through the skin. You saw it? And many other people saw it. The doctor saw it. The doctor said it. And on the way to the hospital, little Megan sits in the back seat, and because she's been raised in a family that believes that she is special, she's unique, she's wonderful, she's marvelous, and that's the way we treat her. We don't criticize her or put her down or scandalize her or make her feel bad. We're always edifying her. How wonderful you are. What a wonderful day. My, what a wonderful child. So they're just wonderful. And we taught them since they were born to pray in tongues because it's very easy to teach a child to pray in tongues. It's natural for them. And so on the way to the hospital, my wonderful granddaughter starts praying for her mother in tongues because she didn't know how else to pray. She didn't know what to pray for. So she just started praying in tongues. And when they got to the hospital, they set my daughter's arm and put it in this, what did they put it in, Megan? A metal splint so that they could take her to the x-ray room and x-ray it. And on the way to the x-ray room, this metal splint got really hot to the point that when the nurse felt it, her arm was so hot, she ran and got the thermometer and took her temperature to see if her fever was that high. And felt her, and she had no fever, just her arm. And by the time they took the x-ray, there was no breaks on the x-ray. I mean, zero breaks. God totally, completely healed her arm. You see, and you know, that's not really no big deal for us. I mean, you'd go, no big deal for us. We just expect it. In fact, my daughter wasn't expecting it too much, I don't think, because she started fussing at the doctor. My arm's broke. The doctor says, I know it, you know it, but the x-ray don't know it. And then little Megan pipes up. She said, Mommy, you know, I prayed for you in tongues. God healed your arm. From a 10-year-old child. See, our children have the power. Our children are unique. They're marvelous. They're great creations of God. And when you teach them the love and the compassion and the mercy and you raise them in that faith, it just comes out of them. It's natural. It's not... Well, it's just a supernatural thing that we should be into. If we believe that Jesus is true God from true God. Now it says that this true God, He is begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Wherever you find Jesus, You're going to find the Father. Wherever you find the Father, you're going to find Jesus. And vice versa. Wherever you find me, you should find God the Father and God the Son. Wherever you find my children, you should find God the Father and God the Son. You should find His power. One of the things you'll discover here this week is that most of our lives we have been critical of one another because we don't do like I think you ought to do. There is nobody in the world that can do like I think. And for me to think that I can think that you ought to do like I think you ought to do, that is totally insane. And you'll probably be told today that you're insane by one of the other instructors. You guys are in for a treat this week. How many of you have never been through the school before? Hang on, folks. It's wonderful. It's exciting. It's revolutionary. It's a mind blower. It's a mind changer. It's a whole world changer. You just look at the whole world in a total different perspective. Instead of waking up of a morning bitter and disappointed and angry and confused, you wake up shouting, glory be to God, hallelujah. Wake up with joy in your heart because you know everything that's going on in the world is going on for my benefit. It says here that this God, this is big stuff, through Him all things were folks, and what are we doing selling it? If God made all things, what are we doing dishing it out to one another? Think about it. You know, in my family, the greatest joy I get is just whenever they ask, give. That's the greatest joy I have. They say, well, don't you think you'll add to their delinquency? I don't have delinquents in my house. They're children of God. I don't look at my family as delinquents. I look at my family as marvelous creations of the Father. And little Megan can tell you, in our house, you never hear any wars going on in our house. Little kid, we got what? Miranda and Madison. We got the 3M girls, Megan, Madison, and Miranda. And if, you never know there's in the house. By the way, they play and they just go around, you know, they act like people. That's why they act like people, you know, adults. 3 years old, Gene and I came in, I forget where we'd been early in the morning, but we came back to the house and little Madison met us at the front door and she says, well, she said, how has your morning been, Meemaw and Peepaw? I said, it's just been wonderful. She said, mine too. Just walked off like it. I came home off of a long session and I was just exhausted. My little 3-year-old grandson was sitting in the back seat and I was driving. My wife was over in the passenger side. And as I started pulling out of the driveway, Joshua said, Peepaw, would you play the children's tape? Now, we have this little super gang tape, these little children singing about Jesus, and the kids love them. And so Joshua said, Peepaw, would you play the tape? And I said, Joshua, I don't really feel like listening to that this morning. You know, I had all I could hear. I couldn't hear no more. And there was a pause in the back seat, and in a few minutes, little Joshua said, Peepaw, don't you expect me to mind you? Now, he's 3 years old. I said, Joshua, I do. He said, I expect you to mind me too. Play the tape. You know, I played the tape. Yeah. You know, it's amazing how we expect our kids to mind us, but we don't want to mind them. And unless we're willing to mind and put ourselves into sometimes things that we really don't want to do, how are we ever to teach them to mind? So servants. You're going to learn a lot about servants this week. How to be a servant. And how to enjoy being a servant. Being a servant's where the joy's at. It's not being in charge. You'll notice that I'm not in charge of this school, don't you? I move and they tell me to move. I'm not in charge. They said, Charlie, you get in your classroom. I said, okay. Come up on the stage and greet the people. Okay. I don't tell, and I didn't know I was going to get to do that. It's the first time my wife and I've had an opportunity to greet the people in all the schools that we've had. I've never been up there and done that before. Something new they swung on me this morning. But I enjoyed it. Amen. Being a servant, especially to your family, wives serving their husbands, husbands serving their wives, husband and wife serving the children. It's the only way you can teach a child to serve is to serve them first. You can't teach a child by demanding a child. You teach a child by serving the child. Amen. I know this, probably you might already know this, but I like to think about it every day. I have to make myself do it every day. Through him all things were made for us men and for our salvation. Now, I want you to tell me what was made for me and my salvation. I want you to identify something that was made for me and for my salvation. Well, I want to be more specific. No. Megan. Well, I'm looking. Now, y'all ought to be answering with what you already know. It's me. It's you. You were made for me and my salvation. My family was made for me and my salvation. You were made for me and my salvation. All things were made for me. That tree out there weren't made for my salvation. You were. Because God said, if I can't love the one that I see, how can I love God whom I've never seen? Because, see, you're built in his image. So you were made for me and for my salvation. Ever how I treat you is the way I treat God. Yeah, me. It all boils down to me. If you ever get it past me, then really you've got a problem. My life was committed, was created by God that I might live his life with you. You know, when people in the early church, not in the early church, but say from about the year 400 up to the year 1900, when anybody had a religious experience, what was the first thing they did to it? They locked it up in a convent or a seminary someplace and just totally took it out of the general perspective of life. And nobody could experience the joy of this marvelous creation. We locked it up. But thank God today we don't run out and lock it up. We put it to work out in the marketplace. Isn't that where Jesus was? He was in the marketplace. Loving people. When you folks get through here this week, I want you to go get the movie Jesus of Nazareth and look at the portrayal. Ever who did that movie was right on the mark. It's the most phenomenal movie that I've ever witnessed. It gives a life of Jesus Christ exactly the way we teach it here in this school. It's incredible. Okay, it says here that that God came down from heaven. I mean, just like that. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you hear Father talk this morning about God coming down to Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit, conceived into her Jesus? Now, let me ask you wonderful people something. Today, how does Jesus come to us? By the power of the Holy Spirit. God comes down from heaven today, just like he did 2,000 years ago to a little wonderful, precious, original masterpiece of God. Came down from heaven and established in her the kingdom of God. He does the same thing today. He comes down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit and enkindles in us a fire. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the church today. Now it says, he was born of the Virgin Mary. God became a man. The reason God became a man, because he didn't want us worshiping monkeys or dogs or cows or trees or oceans or moons or stars. He didn't want us worshiping that. He came down from heaven and presented himself like us. Our admiration is towards one another. Our commitment is to one another. Most people have fallen in love with dogs. They love dogs a lot more than they love people. There's a great movement about, you know, kill people and love dogs. No. Oh. Insane. Yeah. Yeah, it's insane to kill cats and dogs, but we can kill babies. You see what I'm saying? You see, if we don't have an experience of God, then animals, trees, we've got a move in our church where the people go out and worship trees. God's creation. Trees and grass and flowers, and they just... It's in touch with reality, in touch with God. No people bring me in touch with God. Flowers can't bring me in touch with God. You are a flower. You're the only thing that can bring me in touch with God. Folks, you got to really have... This has really got to be the paramount of our faith, or we won't ever know. We won't ever... Jesus came into this world because he loved people. He was a sacrifice for people, not for dogs, not for trees, not for oceans, but for us. God came and took on the form of a human being, a man. Says it right here in my faith. Didn't take on the form of a tree. And see, it'd be easy for me to love that tree out there because it can't talk back to me. I can go out there and stroke it. I can hug it, and it'll just be a tree, you know. But I got to stroke you and love you. And you know, we're almost afraid to do that. Yeah. Oh, what will they think? Who cares what they think? This is my sister. This is most precious to God. This is the very apple of God's eye. I can't stroke it and hug it and love it. Well, sure I can. I don't care what y'all think. Y'all gonna see me loving on everybody. Oh, Charlie just loves on everybody. Now you know why. For my sake, for our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. Now you notice here it didn't say for the sake of the ocean or the trees. It says for my sake. God was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered for Charlie Osborne. He died for Charlie Osborne. He was buried for Charlie Osborne. And on the third day he arose again for Charlie Osborne in fulfillment of the scriptures. And then... Listen to this. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Folks, the living and the dead, there's two kinds of people in the world, those that are living and those that are the living dead. I'm alive. I have dropped my deadness, and I'm alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for those that have not come in to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're dead. They're the living dead. They're the walking around dead. I did that for 43 years. I walked around a dead man, had no life in me at all. But when I was 43 years old, with my wonderful parish priest, Father Jim Smith, he introduced me to God, and I was taken out of death to life. And I have been alive ever since. Not through Charlie Osborne's efforts, but through the efforts of God in the knowledge of my faith. His kingdom will have no end. Lenny's kingdom is coming to an end. Charlie's kingdom is coming to an end. Father Frank Maloney's kingdom is coming to an end. But God's kingdom, there is no end. So obvious to me that if our kingdom is coming to an end, we want to jump on somebody that's not going to come to an end. We want to approach the one that there is no end. We want to have the relationship with the one that lives forever. And you can't have a relationship with God without having a relationship with people. You can't. And then it says this. We believe in one Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life. I'm going to run through this really quick. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God. It is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Word of God that was made flesh, the Spirit of God. We're going to look at the Spirit of God all week. We're going to take the Spirit of God that is to come and convict us of our sinfulness. We will look at this Spirit and allow it to penetrate our minds and our hearts that we may be convicted that we can move from unrighteousness over into righteousness, that we can move from condemnation over into the joy and to the experience of God's power and His Holy Spirit. We're going to see the Holy Spirit is the only source of life. Life comes through no other person. The ministry of the church today, the ministry to Charlie Osborne belongs to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brings life. Amen.
Amen.
Metropolitan life is not life. Blue Cross and Blue Shield is not life. Independent life is not life. The Holy Spirit, the doctors can't bring life. Charlie Osborne can't bring life. Only the Holy Spirit of God can bring life. And folks, if you can keep it that simple, then your mind and your heart is in for a joyride. Just in for a joyride. But when you start looking off to other things to bring you life, that's going to introduce you to Jesus, you're going to run amok, you're going to run afoul. You're going to run into a empty, desolate, dead-end road. The Holy Spirit is, let's all say that. The Holy Spirit is the Lord and the giver of life. Holy Spirit is the Lord and the
giver of life.
All right? And then it says this. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. In other words, wherever you find the Father and the Son, this is where the Holy Spirit is, and this is where He comes from. He comes from the Father and the Son. He comes from the very one that made me and you. That's where He came from. With the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit is worshiped and
glorified.
Well, we ought to spend some time doing that. We don't spend time. We love to spend time praising God. But our faith says we're to spend time worshiping the Holy Spirit. Calling on the Holy Spirit. Amen. And in that, when I call on the Holy Spirit, it said, He will come. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Fill the hearts, fill my heart with your fire. Fill me with God. Bring into me God's wisdom. Inspire in me the revelation of eternal life. Let me experience, Father God, the forgiveness of sin through the power of your Holy Spirit. My good folks, it'll just knock your socks off. It's wonderful. He has spoken through the prophets. Who are the prophets? Just say, we are. We are. Tell me what a prophet does. It speaks the mind of God. Let's all say, a prophet speaks the mind of God. Listen to what the mind of God is. You'll be hearing it all week. Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. That's the mind of God. That's from above. Those ways are above our ways and our thoughts, above our thoughts. And we force ourselves into it. Suffer without retaliation. I don't like it, but I'll do it. Amen. All right, it says, we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Who is the church?
We are.
Say, I am.
I am.
When you say we, there may be somebody that says, don't include me. So you can't say we for anybody. You've got to say me for me. I am a unique creation of God. I am a church. And in this church, I belong to the body. To the body of Christ. Now, if I am the church, then I am holy, I am Catholic, and I'm apostolic. Folks, you can't get away from it. The whole world that belongs to God, that is the church, a temple of the Holy Spirit, it is holy, it is Catholic, and it's apostolic. The word holy means to be set apart, to be set apart, set apart. Let's all say set apart. It means that I'm different. That's what the word holy means. Catholic, small letter, small c, means what? Everybody in the world belongs to Jesus, whether they like it or not. Saddam Hussein this morning belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he doesn't know it. What a rude awakening he's going to have. But see, our job is to get to him and to get him saved, aren't we? You think we might get killed in the process? Probably. But so what? I mean, if we're dying, who cares how we check out? Well, you got to be careful. Not me. God told me to cast all my cares on him. I throwed him my life. I said, Lord, you take care of it. I can't. I said, this roof could fall in right now and bury us all. We're out of here. Little earthquake, little roof cave in, little death right here. I can't protect me. So I cast the care on him. I said, you can't take care of me. Bring me home. I put it in his hands. So I don't worry about it no more. That's the reason I get on old flip-floppy airplanes. You know, I'm in your care, Lord. What is the word apostolic? Let me give it to you right quick. Apostolic is using the charisms of the Holy Spirit. The reason that we have popes and bishops is to bring to us the laity, the baptized, the confirmed, the royal priesthood, the active Holy Spirit in word and deed, preaching with wisdom, knowledge, healing, faith, miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. These are the apostolic activities. These are what we're to operate in. And folks, they are not charismatic. They are apostolic. You will not hear that word used here this week in this school, the word charismatic, because we're not a movement. We're the church. I don't believe in movements. I believe in the church. Well, tomorrow morning,